passenger in the front seat and somebody else was driving in the dream. And in the dream, I was in the inner city and a car ran a red light as we came into the intersection. And this car broadsided the car I was in. And in the dream, I was watching the dream happen, and somebody came and they're trying to get people out of the car, and they said, "Oh, he's dead and she's dead," and I wake up. So it just so happened that night I had the dream. The morning we had our intercessory, we met every week to pray together, and I shared the dream, and we just went to war that's not going to happen. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally we felt that we broke through and it's done. Well, I don't know, a month or so later, I had forgotten the dream. I was in a white car in the back seat, right-hand side. Danny was in the front passenger, and Les Waller was driving, and his wife, Mary Lee, was in the back seat. And we were in the inner city. We'd gone down. We were feeding the homeless, and we had gone to a church there, and we were headed home. And we're coming into an intersection. I happened to look up as we're coming into the intersection, and I see a car flying. And I know that fast, even if that car puts on his brakes, he'll never stop. So I yelled, "Stop." Les threw on the brakes, not seeing the car. He said he never saw the car. But he threw on the brakes because I yelled, "Stop." And the car, instead of broadsiding us because he put on brakes, it clipped the front end of the car, spun us in the intersection, and I hit my head. My head went this way and hit the glass, and I got a concussion. But we were alive, obviously, because we're here today, right? So as a result of that, I got fibromyalgia. I mean, there's nothing as painful as that I've ever had. For 2 years, I lived in constant 24/7 pain. Stayed in bed as much as I could. Barely slept. Pretty much every hour on the hour, I'd wake up because my body hurt so bad. Like every nerve in my body was on fire. And I lived with that. Pray, we kept going and feeding the homeless. By the grace of God, I'd get up and go. I rarely did I miss. This was just real important to me. And anyway, you remember, it was terrible. It was terrible. So 2 years to the date of the car accident, it was February 2nd. I remember 2-2. I'm in a conference. We're in a conference, and Mike Bickle is speaking. He says, "If you're sick in your body, stand up." And Danny's on my right hand, and Mary Lee is sitting on my left hand, and they both know it's been 2 years, and I'd stood up for 50 altar calls or more, you know, for healing. And they're both punching me, saying, "Stand up, stand up." And I said, "I can't. I hurt too bad. I'm too tired. I can't do it. I can't stand up." And they're like, no, you got to stand up. I said, "Look, God can heal me sitting in this chair." And then I just got quiet, and finally I felt, okay, just stand up. What's it going to hurt? One more time. So I pull myself up. I'm standing there. I don't hear anything. Anybody's praying. I hear nothing. All of a sudden, I saw the top of, I know this is weird, the top of my head like came open like this. And light flooded in my brain. And I saw thousands of bats fly out of my head. And then my head lid came back down, and light exploded in my body, and I felt God all over me. And I'm standing there thinking, I think I just got healed. And then I hear God say, "Happy anniversary." And I went, "Happy anniversary?" So I said, "Danny, what's the date today?" He said, "February 2nd. I went, oh my goodness. And I bet you it was probably to the hour of the accident. I bet you, because it was in the evening. I said, oh my goodness, 2 years, February 2nd, 02, 2 years ago, 2-2-2.
Actually, it was 1997 was the accident.
Was that when it was? I don't remember. So,
this is 229.
So I sit down and I decide I'm not saying a word to anybody. I'll know for sure if I just got a miracle or not by the morning. Because if I sleep all night without waking up every hour, I'm not exaggerating, you guys. I would literally wake up every hour and look at the clock all night long so that I could move my body. It felt like a semi-truck hit my body every night. It's terrible. So I said, and then I'll know if I got healed or not. So even though I had no pain, I didn't feel any pain at that moment, which was, I lived in pain. So the next morning, the next thing I know, I wake up and it's the sun's coming in the window and I hadn't woken up once all night. I shot out of my bed like Tigger. I'll never forget it. And I'm bouncing. I'm jumping up and down. And I said, I got healed. I got healed. Danny, I got healed. I got healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I have no pain. I mean, I was hysterical with the change. So what happened was Mike heard about it and he asked me to testify at church on Sunday. So we had two services. So I got up the first service, testified. And I ended the testimony with saying, you know, God healed me. I'm pain-free. I haven't had any pain in my body now for a couple of weeks. And I'm healed. Isn't God good? And the whole place erupts and claps and la, 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 la. So I go sit down, and then the second service starts. And during the praise time, the Lord speaks to me. And he said, you misrepresented me. I said, how? He said, you misrepresented me. Okay, help me understand how. And he said, you made a statement, isn't God good, based on the fact that I healed you. What about all the people sitting in this room right now that I'm not going to heal? Am I not good to them? I mean, talk about conviction. I couldn't wait to get back up because he had me testify at both services. I couldn't wait to get back up there. And the first thing I did was repent. I misrepresented God. And I'm sitting here tonight. I'm listening to every one of us. We all thanked God for something that really good, right? And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, God. I don't want to misrepresent you ever again. You know, God is good no matter what our circumstances. No matter what happened this past year, he's still good. Does it matter if we're still in the middle of an impossible storm? Does it matter if you have fibromyalgia and you can't sleep for a straight hour without burning, searing pain in your body? It doesn't matter if all hell's breaking loose in your life right now. God is still good. And I was thinking earlier today, I was listening to this testimony about a believer that it lives in a town where ISIS has taken over the town. And this was recorded 4 years ago, I believe it was, 4 or 5. And this man, he had to mask his voice and couldn't show his face because if he's seen, he'll be killed. He's a believer in Yeshua. And he was sharing what it was like in his town, how many of the believers have been murdered and tortured and abused and et cetera, all the horrors that ISIS brings on believers. And he was sharing about it. And the interviewer asked him, said, well, how do you endure this kind of, you've lost your wife, your children, you watch them murder them. How are you sitting here before me today still a follower of Yeshua when he allowed all that suffering and it's everywhere around you and it appears God's not doing anything about it? And I was blown away by this man's response. He said, you don't understand. Suffering is normal to a believer in Yeshua. It is part of the package. He said, when we become a follower of Yeshua, he suffered. That means we're going to suffer. It's normal. Everybody suffers for him. And yeah, I'm sitting there going, oh, wow, boy, do we kind of have that a little bit upside down sometimes. We in America especially, we tend to think if you become a believer, then your life's all going to work out really good and the injustice that's going on in your life is going to end and God's going to just take care of all your enemies. He's going to take care of all your problems. He's going to fix the people you love that are broken, and he's going to heal the... You know, that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Yeshua told us, in this world you will have trouble. It's not an option. You're going to have trouble. But have no fear, for I've overcome the world. He has overcome. But that doesn't mean he's going to stop the suffering. Doesn't mean he's going to fix the brokenness in your life and in the people you love. It doesn't. There's no promise for that. It doesn't mean that he's going to suddenly wave his magic wand and fix it all for you so that you live happily ever after with no problems. That's not reality, especially not in the kingdom of God. And any believer in any persecuted country will tell you that's not reality. It's only us Americans that have that kind of gospel message, and it's just not in the Bible. And when you fast forward and you read Revelation and you take Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and you put all those Bible prophecies together, it's a really clear picture that in the last days, the way God's going to make a pure, spotless bride is through suffering. So if we're suffering, our response should be, thank you, Lord, you're ironing out the wrinkles. You're making us more, you're desiring to make us more Christ-like. You're teaching us how to rejoice when we suffer. You know, that's not an option. It's a command. That when we suffer, we rejoice. And we count it all joy when we're persecuted. And we consider it a privilege, an honor, to have that small little fellowship of his sufferings. And so, as we have all thanked him for all the good things, and all the wonderful fruit, and all the amazing ways God's blessed us this year, I just have to thank him for the tough times in all of our lives. Everybody in this room, you've had some tough stuff this year, some more than others. And I thank God for it. And I thank God that even though we had all this tough, hard stuff, and some of you sitting here tonight may be not even sure what tomorrow's going to bring or what your life's going to look like in 6 months or a year. You may not know. But I can promise you this, that God is good all the time. And he always, always writes the best possible script for your life. Always. And sometimes that script includes some really painful stuff, because that makes us more Christ-like than the easy, fun, blessing times. It really does. And we can be thankful for the hard stuff, for the difficult stuff, for the stuff that we just wonder if we're going to ever get over it. And if we, times when you don't even feel like you can get out of bed or take a next breath. We can thank him for that as well. And I rejoice that God isn't the kind of God who gives us what we want or what we ask for. Oh boy, would we all be a big fat mess if he did that. And the promise always that we can take to the bank is that God promises that what Satan meant for evil, God promises that he'll turn it for good. If we love him And if we're called according to his purpose, he'll turn it for good. Even the things that are devastating, that are crushing you right now, that's crushing your heart, where you might feel like you have no hope. You wonder if, like Andrew said, why am I here? Andrew, you're here because God desires to pour his life into you. That's why you were born. God wants a son in whom he can pour himself into, who will voluntarily turn around and pour that love back into God and see somebody else who's hurting and say, hey, I got some love for you today. It came from my Father. He loves me and he loves you too. And this divine dance happens with every beat of your heart, Andrew, as God pours himself into you. Simply because you're you, not because of anything you've done or accomplished, but simply because you're a vessel and you opened your heart to him. There's no greater purpose in life than that for every one of us. That's as good as it gets right there. That God would somehow notice us and pour himself into us. What an amazing God. Beyond anything we could ask or imagine. He's never, ever, ever, ever given up on you. And he's not about to start now. He's not a God who quits. You might quit, but he won't even quit if you quit. He's going to keep pursuing you like a, in the South, we say like a hound dog pursues a coon, you know? God, not that I'm calling him a hound dog, but a hound dog will die trying to get that raccoon. They won't give up. They'll die trying. And God died pursuing you. He's never going to give up on you. And I know life is tough. I know life is hard. And I know people we love make choices that are really painful and hurt us and affect us. But the hope we have is that we have a Father who never disappoints. He never gives up on us. And he always, 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 always writes the best script. And he's the author of your life. And he's the finisher. That means he has the last word. He's faithful. He's always faithful. That kind of God is worth you laying your rights down. Your right to be offended. Your right to point your finger at God and say, well, why didn't you? And why wasn't I born in a different family? Or why didn't I marry a different person? Or why didn't I this or that or the other? God will turn it and use it for good, for his glory and for your good, if you give him a chance. It's what he's done in my life, and it's what he's done in everybody's life in this room, whether you realize it or not, he's already done it. And we're all in process. We're all on the journey. So we just thank you, Lord, for the highs, the lows, and the buffaloes. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing before we do.